acknowledges Michael's recent decision regarding the CEO position, thanked him for his outstanding creative leadership, and looks forward to his continued leadership through the rest of his tenure. At the same time, the statement made clear that a new era had begun. The board will engage in a thorough, careful, and reasoned process to select as the next CEO the best person for the company, its shareholders, employees, customers, and for the many millions of others who care so much about the Walt Disney Company. The board is keenly aware of the special place our company holds in the hearts of people all over the world and the importance of its responsibility in choosing a CEO. Despite the carefully worded praise for Eisner and the management team, the statement was the equivalent of the board's declaration of independence. In a press briefing after the meeting, to which I listened, Mitchell seemed to make explicit what Eisner hadn't wanted in the press release. In response to a question about whether Eisner would step down if a new CEO was appointed, and if Eisner would remain as chairman, Mitchell said, "Michael has made his statement on that, and we take him at his word. As far as the board is concerned, that's the end of it." When a questioner noted that Eisner's statement wasn't definite on those points, Mitchell referred to news accounts of the Fortune interview reporting that Eisner wouldn't stay as chairman. "I read several newspapers, and there was nothing indefinite about it. It was definite as far as we were concerned." Though the board's actions stopped short of meeting Save Disney's demand that Eisner be out by the 2005 annual meeting, it promised a decision on a new chief executive by June 2005. It was almost everything that Roy and Gold had been asking for. After pondering the implications for a few days, on September 28th, Roy and Gold declared a qualified victory. In announcing that it will be retaining a qualified executive search firm to help select a new CEO, the board displayed precisely the kind of leadership and independence which we and the vast number of shareholders who share our concerns had been requesting. "We are willing to take Chairman George Mitchell at his word that Mr. Eisner will step down as both CEO and a member of the Disney board as soon as his replacement is installed. As we have stated all along, our effort was never about Roy Disney and Stanley Gold. It was about the importance of shareholder democracy and need for change at the Disney Company. To George Mitchell and the board, we are most supportive of this encouraging beginning to what we trust will be the revitalization of the Walt Disney Company, once the happiest place on earth." Roy and Gold put their ambitious plans for a proxy fight on hold. At the same time, they pledged to remain vigilant and to hold the board to its promises. In a letter to Save Disney supporters in October, Roy reminded them that, "8 or 9 months ago, I had been informed that I was no longer wanted or needed as a member of the Disney board, and with that, I had, along with Stanley Gold, resigned from that body. Michael Eisner probably thought we might make a little public fuss that would soon die away, that the board would obediently renew his contract into eternity, and life would go on as normal. That is all quite different now. Eisner has decided to end his imperial reign in some foreseeable